Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I once played in a college baseball game where we got beat 23-2 in game one of a doubleheader. We were in Reno. The wind was howling out, and Nevada beat us 23-2 in game one. I tell you what, I don't even remember what happened in game two. Oregon laid it on an opponent on Saturday, 35-1 in game one, 8-3 in game two. Mark Wasikowski, Oregon baseball coach, here to talk about it. What happened? What went wrong in game two?
Yeah, we didn't score, but eight in game two.
I know.
We came up short.
How do you stay focused in a game like that? Because you guys set a school record, pretty impressive, but obviously you got bats, you got pitching, but how do you keep the guys from relaxing in a game like that and have them take every at-bat seriously?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on. I hope Anna's doing really great, too. You know, Pepperdine Waves, we got to stick together.
There you go. There you go.
But no, I mean, you know, it was just baseball. It went our way. You know, a week ago, we went a left-hander through 10 innings, a shutout ball against us. It's just weird, you know. I mean, it's baseball. You can't predict it, not with college-age guys. We know we got a really physical team to where when it gets going, it can really get going. We've seen that. How do we keep them going? You know, it gets, I don't know. It's just, it's a long game, right? And when you're scoring a lot of runs, it get longer. There's a lot of guys that got a chance to get into that game, which was a lot of fun. You know, we dumped our bench. Basically, we had the starters out after the fourth inning, some of them out before the fourth. So, I mean, we had the starters out and we had a lot of young kids getting a chance to play, which was great. We were able to get some guys in to pitch that haven't gotten a chance to pitch yet, which was great. I don't necessarily love the fact that, wow, okay, the score is so lopsided. But still, yeah, you know, there were still opportunities for young guys to play. That's why we play four games. We meet with the coach before a series starts, and we talk about run rules. And he wanted to play innings too because, you know, you get the chance to play four games, and at this time of year, you got to play.
Yeah, and look, I was just kidding about, you know, what happened, but you get a chance to get some guys that aren't going to get at-bats later. It's nice for them to get into a game situation, and I'm sure those guys loved it and took it seriously. You know, you had your DH, Dominic Helman. You know, he had a fantastic four games in the series, you know, and he three home runs, pair of grand slams in the series opener, 13 runs with nine runs scored, a double. What's Helman doing right at the plate?
Well, what's he not doing right now? You know, and he's always had that kind of ability, but he's never really been healthy for us, John. At the end of last year, going into the postseason, you know, we got him going a little bit, and he got healthy, and he had a heck of a super regional at Texas A&M. I mean, he was really good. He's always had the power. I mean, he's always been that guy, but he's just never been healthy for us. And so this is the first time, and actually about 3 weeks ago, he wasn't healthy for us. And so we got him about 2 weeks ago off the DL, and the next thing we started working it with him, and he was taking some walks, and he had some decent at-bats a couple weeks ago, but he just wasn't comfortable, and he just didn't have the rhythm. And Coach Martyr and myself, we really spent a lot of time with Brett Thomas, and we really spent a lot of time with him over the last week or so, and he's put a ton of work in. He's now kind of getting the rhythm and getting into his legs, and he's having good results. And so, you know, as we start seeing the competition getting better and better, especially this weekend when we play Southern Cal this weekend, you know, we get to answer those tests here coming up. But he's doing well right now. It's good to see.
Big Ten baseball season will eventually kick in for you guys, and you know, it's not going to be very long, but give me an idea of, you know, kind of, are you doing rubbernecking? You're looking at some different opponents now, and how far ahead do you guys start scouting, or do you kind of just stay within your own schedule and a week or two out?
Well, you always stay on the next game first, right? And tomorrow we get a chance to play Utah Tech. So, I mean, the lion's share of our time is on that. But, you know, just as a routine, I go back and I'll go through our entire schedule. I just go every single week. It's easier instead of cramming for the exam, I guess, the week before you play somebody. I just keep a running running scouting, I guess, report on each team. So after a weekend, we get into, you know, the office for saying, you know, and actually even Sunday night after we get done with play, and even before that, we really do go through the video on all the opponents, and we just continue to keep a running tab on all the opponents, spray charting who pitched, what their velos were, what their tendencies were, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I guess the compilation of a scouting report, it goes on throughout the whole year. And so we're just collecting data and continually putting into our charts and our system as the other teams that are on our schedule play.
You're going to see some familiar opponents. I mean, I like that you know, you're like 4 days away, I think, from going to USC for a game that won't feel all that weird. But, you know, I think you and I talked about the weather in different parts of the country, and, you know, Michigan's in Southern California playing games, and I think Michigan State went to South Carolina to play some games, and, you know, everybody's trying to find good weather, find sunshine, and play baseball games. Are any chance they would push the season back and start it a little bit later from a baseball standpoint? And, you know, is that a feasible thing with some teams having to deal with some colder climate, or are the SEC teams always going to want to have the season right where it is?
Well, I think you're probably right on both statements. I think the SEC has got a little bit of a stronghold on college baseball, and some of their movement would be less interested in moving the season back a month. Although even off the record, you can get almost to a coach in the SEC. You know, the amount of time that we have before the season starts is not enough for a ramp-up. And even the SEC guys would love for another month of ramp-up for their players to be able to start the season. They're not going to go on record saying it, but it's just legit. The major leaguers have it right. You know, when it comes to spring training, the weather gets warmer, and as the weather gets warmer, that's when we get on the field and we play the boys of summer, right? It's a game meant to be played during the summer and the warmer weather months. And so I think there's huge growth potential in college baseball. Unlike probably any sport that's out there, I think that they got it nailed on the Final Four. They got it. They always are going to make tweaks on the college football playoffs and huge monies in those two games. And I think there's massive potential in college baseball if they and when they do look at the season being moved back a month. It only makes sense. There's so many pluses. Not only will you decrease injuries, you'll increase graduation rates quicker. You'll be able to play in front of bigger crowds across the country because the weather is better a month later. And the overall interest in the college game of baseball would be even higher than it is now, and it's at record-breaking levels. And so I think it's just going to be the next step that we see, and the question is when, you know, and what administrator really wants to take this on, what AD or conference commissioner-level person wants to take it on. And that's why, boy, I'd love to get Tony Petitti, who's a big-time baseball guy in the Big Ten, so on board with that idea that he wants to run with it. And I know, you know, I've been pushing my boss, Rob Mullins, who's a huge baseball guy, you know, and I push him all the time. I'm like, hey, Rob, this would be awesome. This would be something for you to get behind and really rally the troops, because it would be great for the college baseball game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, getting everybody, like, mirroring what's happening in Major League Baseball, so much of college follows that anyway. You know, I noticed that umpires are checking pitchers the way MLB was cracking down just a couple seasons ago. Seems to be now that, you know, umpires are enforcing that a little more strictly. Were you guys given any directive on that prior to the season, or is this just happening?
No, we all voted on it. It's been a problem. You know, what's happened is, John, great question, by the way. So the analytics, you know, we have analytics departments now, and it's a great way for students, interns making probably next to nothing, but getting great experience in the analytics and the data collection for college baseball. And then these kids are, you know, as they get older, they get a college degree, and now they're teed up, and they've had 2, 3, 4 years of experience college level doing analytics, and the pro clubs are hiring them. But what we saw in the analytics and the data is you start seeing pitchers that their spin rates jump significantly from outing to outing, and you go, whoa, you know, what happened here? You know, the average spin rate was X, and then, man, it went up so much. You know, what happened? And you saw this in previous years, and then you saw, especially on video, some funny things happening, which was unfortunate. But it's across the board, right? It's the same thing that happened in Major League Baseball when the steroid controversy all came out. Hey, these guys, there's a lot of money in the game to be made. I can't fault the player because the player wants a chunk of that money, and they're going to do anything they possibly can at times to be able to try to make a living for their families. And, you know, whether it's ethical or not, the bottom line is people are trying to support their families, and the kids want to make it to the major leagues. And, you know, some of these kids are going to do whatever they can do, even if it's unethical. But the bottom line is the NCAA needed to get their arms around it. That's why the coaches voted on what they did. That's why Major League Baseball is doing what they're doing. They knew that there was a problem, too, and they needed to try to get their arms around it. So that's all that's happening at the college level. By and large, I think all the coaches, I don't think anybody's an advocate of cheating. I think all the coaches are very much on board with getting their arms around the problem and trying to keep this thing, doing it the right way, right?
All right. So for people who don't know, pitchers were using substances, tacky substances, to change the spin rate. Now, let's talk about spin rate and what it matters. Like, a fastball with a high spin rate will finish in the strike zone a little bit higher than a fastball of equal velocity and a lower spin rate. Conversely, if you have a low spin rate, like on a breaking ball or a changeup, it creates more movement. Am I getting that right?
Sound like you're working for a pro club. Yeah, it's just harder to hit, John. It really is. I mean, when you're using funny stuff, you get a better grip of the ball spins more, and gosh darn it, man, that thing's, the pitchers, it gets really hard to hit, and their stuff just ticks up, and so that's what happens. You're spot on that.
I think, you know, umpires now, correct me if I'm wrong, relief pitcher, they can either check the pitcher right away, or they can check the pitcher at the end of the inning. What is the rule with a starter? How, you know, is that just random, or do they have a certain point of the game where they can come to the pitcher?
Yeah, they do it at the beginning of their outing, and then they can do it. They do it periodically in their start, and so they could do it every inning if they chose, or they could do it every other inning. But yeah, pretty much what I'm seeing is almost every inning, guys are getting checked right now, if not every other inning. And you know, I think it's good. I mean, I don't know if there's anything with spin rates and stuff with health of the arm. You know, bottom line is a fair game is what we're all after. And anytime you get the most fair game out there and let the kids compete on a fair playing field, that's what we're looking for.
Mark Wasikowski, Oregon baseball coach, with us. Obviously, you guys, last year I watched you to the end of the season and felt like you guys wanted more games. How are you feeling about this roster, this team, this season, and that continuity you got with some guys coming back?
It's awfully nice to have as many at-bats as we do in our lineup. It's awfully nice. You know, those kids all returned. We had a lot of guys get offered to play professional baseball. You know, Chase Meggers, you know, just working around the horn. Chase Meggers, Jacob Walsh at first base, the all-time home run record guy. Drew Smith, second base. You know, I mean, there's so many guys. Jeff Hurd had a chance to sign professionally. Anson Arrows had a chance to sign professionally. So many of those kids. And they had smaller offers, and so we were able to keep them, which was great. It helps. It helps a ton for that. I like our lineup. I think our lineup's really thick. I think our roster's really, really good. I don't think we've been tested yet from a schedule standpoint. We tried to schedule our non-conference schedule where we were playing conference projected conference winners. And oddly, you mentioned the score of the game the other day that got away. Well, you know, that was a program that had been in the regionals or won their league 6 years in a row, you know.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't – I didn't see that coming. I didn't. And we're trying to schedule guys from a cross-section of different leagues out there that have a high percentage chance of winning 30 more games or more off of a 10 or a 15-year rolling average. And that's how you schedule 2 or 3 years out in advance. I think we're going to get tested a lot more coming up. I know there's really good teams in our league, and it seems like there's really good pitching in our league, specifically left-handed pitching in our league this year for whatever reason.
Mark, you played Oregon State, and you didn't have to, and you scheduled them, and that's a team I think that will help you battle test you for the postseason, and, you know, you did that. Was it more of a tip of the cap because you recognize that they're a good program, or is it just strictly, hey, that is a really good non-conference game that can help our strength of schedule and we don't have to get on a plane to play it?
Well, both. And Mitch does a nice job at Oregon State. You know, that's a good program. Those guys are, they're big, strong, physical guys. They've got depth on their pitching staff, a lot of power arms. I want to play good people, you know, and so I thought it was awesome. I served on the committee, the West Coast Regional Advisory Committee, for the last couple of years. Oregon and Oregon State, two best teams on the West Coast. That, you know what, for people in this state, they need to understand how good the baseball is right now at the college level in our state. That's really special. And I know the guys up there with the Portland Diamond Project are trying to bring Major League Baseball to Portland, which would be incredible. Right now, we don't have it, and you've got two college teams that are two of the best in the country, and they're ranked in the top 10 right now. And so for me, I think it's awesome. I want to play against good people. I want a rivalry, and Oregon-Oregon State, you know, that's been the Civil War rivalry for all these years. There's no way in the world I'd want to be a part of breaking that up. And a rivalry is only good when both teams are good. And so I've got my work cut out for me here at Oregon to make sure that we're really good to where, you know, we can live up to our end of the deal in a rivalry to where people go, wow, yeah, that's a good team. And we're working like crazy to be an Omaha level and a caliber team that has a chance to win a national championship. And Oregon State's won a couple of national championships. We respect that. We respect the fact that Pat Casey did a really nice job while he was the head coach there. And you know what? Bottom line is now we got two really good teams in Oregon, and that we should be playing against each other. And so that's why we're playing.
I love it. I love it. 4 o'clock tomorrow, Oregon's at home against Utah Tech. If you want to check that out, the Ducks get an opportunity to see them in the early part of the season. They'll open Big Ten play, go to USC, and then be back at home not long after that against Grand Canyon about a week or 8 days from now. Coach, I really appreciate you popping on. I want to bring you on throughout the season because I just think these talks help drive people to the ballpark, drive interest in your program. And I think you're right. With between you, Mitch Canham, even the University of Portland, we've got some good things going on in the state.
I mean, the kid from Portland last week threw a perfect game. That doesn't happen at any level of baseball. And I mean, he threw a perfect game at Portland. So, you know, people in Oregon, whether they're Beaver fan, Dutch fan, you know, Portland Pilot fan, I mean, you've got a really good brand of baseball going on. I think we're very fortunate and blessed to have that. And, you know, support your local teams, the ones that you like, and the ones that you don't like, bring it. You know, come to the ballpark and hate on the other team because it's only good for everybody. You know what I mean? Just full stadiums up here in the Northwest. Fantastic. And we love the fans and the support.
We had that kid on after he threw the perfect game, and I got to ask you this. He came on, and I said, did you know it in the bullpen? And he said, no. He said, I just felt normal in the bullpen. I was, you know, not feeling all that great and not bad, but not great. And then he said he came out in the first inning, and he hit every spot. And he said, man, I just hit every spot I was trying to hit. And he said, after three innings, he was like, I haven't missed with a pitch yet. Like, you know, you know that. You've seen guys who would just – for whatever reason, lock in when the game starts, and you know everything seems to come very fluidly, and it doesn't happen all that often.
Well, I've never been a part of a perfect game, and so for that staff up there to get that pitcher ready to go and that kid to do that, the Rembrandt kid, I mean, you know, congratulations and kudos to them. You know, that's really special, and that's what I'm talking about. I appreciate the fact that the teams in our state are really good. I really appreciate the coaching staffs that get a chance to work with the student-athletes at those schools, and I'm just lucky to be able to have this job here because, you know, it's an awesome place, and we got to be around really good players. And these fans up here, I know they see it. I know they know how good these teams are, and it's not always that way. You know what I mean? It's not always that way in every state out there. So you got a great chance, fans, to get out and see, you know, some really, really good players in college baseball in your home state.
All right, Oregon is 10-2. They are at home tomorrow, 4:05, first pitch against Utah Tech. Mark, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, John. Go Ducks.
You bet. There he goes, Mark Wasikowski. Leave it here. You got the BFT.